This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hey, this is DeAndre here, and I wanted to make sure you haven't forgotten about our free stay for up to 5 nights in an Airbnb in the world-famous Tulum, Mexico, that we are giving away in partnership with Greenwood Tulum, and that ends May 31st. Click the link in the show notes for details on how to be eligible to win. Now, on to the show. In this week's episode, join us as we dive into the world of points and miles with the dynamic duo behind the Wonderland on Points podcast, where points and miles turn into an unforgettable adventure. Discover their secrets to getting started with points and miles, and here are some of their favorite strategies and some of the incredible things they've learned from their own podcast that will benefit you too. And make sure to take note of the app that they use that gets them additional points using their grocery receipts and Amazon purchases. You don't want to miss this journey into the art of the travel savvy.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. I have my lovely co-host and fiance with me, Taryn, as well. And we have got an amazing treat for you. There's actually four people that are going to be on this episode in total. We have a duo that we're talking to. And before we introduce this guest, or these guests, I should say, if you enjoy the podcast, as a reminder, I'm asking you to just do two quick things for us. One, check the show notes for our feedback survey. That's going to make sure that we know who you are. You guys know who we are. We'd love to know who you are. And second, make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you enjoy our content, and don't forget to rate and like it as well. So, more importantly, now on to our guests. We have Joanna Brown, who goes by Joe, and Mary Ellen of the Wonderland on Points podcast. So they have their own podcast. It's at Wonderland on Points podcast on Instagram. And we're going to also link their individual accounts as well in the show notes. Great podcast, great content, great personalities. And so super excited to have you ladies on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Wow, what an intro. I don't think my ego can sustain these compliments.
Well, it's just getting started.
We are so excited to be here. Thank you so much. This is our first time being on another podcast, so we are super pumped about this.
That's crazy.
Welcome, welcome. I'm super excited to have you ladies here. So to start off, would love to get to know you ladies a little bit. So first off, tell us about yourself. Tell us where you are. Tell us what you do. And tell us how you met as well.
Okay. You want me to take the lead on this one, Mary Ellen?
Go for it.
All right. So I am Joe. I live in the Midwest, St. Louis, Missouri, to be exact. And I have been household managing for 15 plus years. And I think we're going to dig into what that means a little bit later. But I started out my career as a nanny. And it was supposed to be a stepping stone job for me until I finished college. And I ended up liking it so much and building it into something a lot bigger. And I just ended up sticking with it. And now I'm absolutely obsessed with it. And I'll let Mary Ellen tell you a little bit about herself. And then I'll tell you how we met.
My name's Mary Ellen. I am an East Coast girl. I have lived up and down the East Coast my whole life. And so that's where I still am to this day. I don't know that I'll ever... I've learned not to make statements like that. Like, I'll never live anywhere else, because then, you know, lo and behold, you move. But I'm an East Coast girl in my heart. And I used to be, well, I say used to be, I went to school originally out of high school to be a teacher, a K-12 teacher. And I actually got a master's degree in education and was a reading specialist for a while. And then I had children and I stayed home for a while, went back to school, became a nurse. And now I am still a nurse and a nurse educator. So I have dabbled a little bit in a bunch of things, but I love Points and Miles and podcasting because it kind of lets me bring in that educator portion of my background and use it in yet another arena. So that's who I am and why I'm here.
Perfect. Perfect. So I actually like how you said that. I didn't really think about this, but as a financial advisor, the education side plays a role as well. And so it's so natural. I think a lot of advisors, as they build up a good business and have built some success, a lot of them go into business coaching or coaching other advisors. And I said, I don't want to do that. I'm going to follow my passions, which is travel. And now we coach on travel, which is really cool. So how did you ladies meet?
I feel like it's a very unusual story. I think both of us around the same time, unbeknownst to each other, we're off on our separate parts of the world, or the United States, I should say, getting really into this Points and Miles thing, and also getting really into teaching with people, sharing, doing creating on Instagram. And we ended up being in the same Travel Creators Facebook group. And I had been toying with this idea of starting a podcast in this space because I was tired of exhausting my friends and family with it. For some reason, they are the hardest people to sell on this whole thing. They all think you're in an MLM. And it's a scam. And how could it possibly be? And I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to take it to the world in a different way because I love to talk about it. I love to teach about it. But I knew I didn't want to do it by myself. So I had this little baby idea and I went to this Facebook group of total strangers. And I was like, hey, anybody in here specifically into Points and Miles that wants to host a podcast with me? And I thought maybe one or two people would respond. And instead, I got a very big response, a lot more people than I anticipated. But Mary Ellen here just like drew me with her energy. She didn't even do anything specific. I just like immediately knew this was my person. This was my co-host. This was my future BFF. And although we have not actually met in real life yet, we are next month. We're going on a podcast retreat. This woman is an irreplaceable part of my life now, and I am so grateful for her. And she is the perfect like yin to my yang. We're very similar in many ways, but she handles the guests and the scheduling, and I handle all the tech and the nitty gritty stuff of the podcast. And it has been the most beautiful thing that I have ever done in my life, except you.
Oh my word.
My family. I love them too.
I slid into those DMs so fast when she posted. She was like, is anyone interested? Boom. I was messaging because I had thought about it too, but I didn't know any of the how, like the tech stuff. And I thought, how am I ever going to do this? But she had that. And so it just worked out.
That story is so cute. I didn't cry at my proposal, but I'm almost crying right now hearing it. It is like a match, like made in heaven. I think that is so, so cool. And I'm so excited you guys are going to meet. I cannot believe you've been doing this much content without having met. That is wild.
It feels so unreal that we have not met in person. I mean, I talk to her more than I talk to anybody that I've known for years. You have to be communicating all the time when you're creating something like this. And we do so many recordings together and we both put an infinite amount of hours of work into this. So yeah, I cannot wait for May. Obviously, we're going to make some very cute combo cross content that everybody can see on our Instagrams when we meet for the first time, because it's kind of a big deal. So
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, I think by the time this show will have aired, you guys hopefully will have linked up. So excited to see that content when it goes live. So before we get into like your start in the world of points and miles, I want to inquire for you, Joe, because you just posted about this and I actually didn't know that there was a difference either. So can you help the listeners and help me understand the difference between a nanny and a household manager? Because that was something that I had not really known that there was a difference there.
Yeah, and there's actually a huge difference, but I don't think you'd know it unless you went to hire one of these two people or you're in the world as one of these employees. Over on my Instagram, I like to share a lot more than points and miles. I like it to be a space just that's authentically me. So I do share about my job and my life as well as travel on points and miles content. But the difference between a nanny and a household manager is when you go to hire a nanny, the duties are specifically related to the children. So you may have somebody that's prepping meals and doing some tidying up, but it's only the children's clothes, only the children's meals, only the children's dishes. Their focus is enriching those children's lives. And when you have a household manager, sometimes there are children involved, sometimes there are not. A lot of times a household manager will start when kids are little, but as they go to school, they retain that position. And my job is to anticipate the needs of every member of an entire family and household. So nobody in that family knows when things are running low. That's my job. I'm like, oh, we need toilet paper. Oh, we need paper towels. Oh, the dog needs to go to the groomer. Oh, the car needs an oil change. Anything that somebody with a career who is just maxed out and then also has to come home from a busy day and see 1,000 things that they have to do, that is the kind of candidate for a household manager, because I allow you to fully enjoy your home when you come back to it. You do not have to do any of the little stuff. Your kids are well taken care of. They're picked up. They've been to their doctor's appointments. They are fed. They are loved. And also your entire household is maintained. So it is really, it is a luxury service. It is the next level of nannying. And I have, I've been really proud of what I've built in this space. It's been a lot of fun.
That's so cool. What I heard was you don't need to have kids to have a household manager. So
that's exactly what I heard myself.
It's not entry level to nannying or next level to nannying. I feel like, you know, you got a dinkwad angle here too, because you know, I mean, we both have our own business, and I would love to not have to worry about the things that you just named.
It's funny because
start doing some Google searching now.
I did say after my last job, I was actually saying, like, I think I'm ready to start moving on to families with no kids, because just the older I get, the more I really, really like to get into, I mean, it's more like personal assisting for every single person in the family. And that's what I really, really love. And I love the kids. And I built it on that path from nannying. But no kids required. You still have all the needs of a household manager, even if the kids are not there. I can guarantee you I could walk in and tell you 100 things I could take off your plate. So I'm sorry, awesome. I don't live close to you.
I was going to say, that's the one downside. Why are you so far away, Joe? Come on.
I'm sorry.
So love what you guys have done so far. I'd love to know, how has your start been when it comes to points and miles? How did you ladies get into the points and miles game, and how's the journey coming so far?
Yeah, I think my husband and I got into it kind of on accident. Even before we knew there was a whole game to points and miles, we stumbled upon the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, and we did want to go on a big anniversary trip, and we thought, hey, let's open a credit card and those points can maybe get us a flight. Like part of the way there. Like we were so proud of ourselves. We did open that card and we got a flight. And I think we only got one of our flights. I hope we got it round trip. I don't even remember. But we had no idea about transfer partners or just the power that the points had at the time. But it was just so awesome. We went up to Banff. I don't know if you guys have ever been there up in Canada. It was unbelievable. I highly recommend it. Amazing trip. But at that point, we still didn't know that that there was a whole game and so many points out there. So years later, years after we got that card is when I stumbled upon it. Maybe it was on Instagram. I'm not even sure where it started, but like so many of us in the Points and Miles world, I went on a rabbit hole tangent. Like I just started digging, watching every YouTube video I could find, just trying to gobble any bit of information I could about this. And so my personal very first card was the Amex Gold card. And I felt so special. I had made it to, I don't even know how old I was, but in my 30s and never had a credit card in my whole life. Never. Because I thought you just use debit cards and that's how you're financially responsible. And so I didn't even know that I was leaving so much on the table by not using credit cards. So, and I didn't realize that any credit card we did have was started in my husband's name, not my name. So I had never opened anything in my name. So my credit score was not the same as his. And I was like, why is that? Like I knew nothing about any of this. And so when I opened that first Amex Gold card, I just felt so, it's a nice hard card. It's got some weight to it. You know, it just feels fancy.
It's made of metal. I mean, it's a heavy credit card.
Yeah. That's nice. I was so proud of myself. So that's kind of where I got into it all.
Oh, it's so heartwarming.
What about you, Joe?
I feel like my story is very different because she was, you know, very financially savvy and smart and all of that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, I got married very young at 20, got divorced very young at 21, acquired a lot of combined debts and very, very broken credit in the course of that marriage. And spent a lot of time digging myself out of that and ended up with a real trauma around credit cards and a real resistance to them. I was never going to touch those things again. I did remember that after I had gotten myself out of debt, there was one time where I realized I had some points and there was a flight I needed to take. My grandfather was sick and I was able to get like $100 off a flight with those points. And I remember thinking, whoa, like that was cool. But I never knew that that was out there on a grand scale. And weirdly enough, it was my mom who got me into this, which, you know, if you knew my mom would be the most bizarre thing because she was always like, we don't do credit cards. We don't do debt. We don't do any of these things. I mean, just like very, you know, frugal. And that's really how we were raised, which is probably why I rebelled so hard against it. But I was like, Mom, what do you mean you're opening multiple credit cards? We don't do that in this family. What are you talking about? And she couldn't give me a lot of details because she was learning from a course that she paid for. And she did not feel that it was right to share that because I hadn't paid for it. And I that's who my mom is. She follows the rules. She's just, which is why I was like, credit cards are against the rules, Mom. What are you talking about? But I was like, you know what? If she's not going to tell me, I'm going to go find out everything I can. And I found the now travel, what is their new name?
Travel Mom Squad.
Thank you. I found Travel Mom Squad, who had a different name at the time, and I binged everything. I mean, they had so many episodes, and I listened to them all in just a few days. And then I went in the blogs and the message boards and the Facebook groups, and I just went hard. I went so hard. I learned everything. And I realized at that point that my 524 was messed up because I was only a few years out, probably from fully paying off all of the debt and fully wrapping up with the credit cards. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have very little space left. Where do I start? And I figured St. Louis is a Southwest hub. I'll start with Southwest. This was an uneducated decision. It was actually a terrible place to start, but it was because I hadn't fully realized the structure of everything. So that took up another 524 spot and really threw me backwards. So then I had to do business cards for a while until I finally was able to get my Chase Sapphire Preferred, which I feel like that is where the real journey started, where I was able to really start redeeming and using the Hyatts and transferring to the airlines. And it's just been a wild, wild ride, and a very exciting one.
for the new listeners out there, can you help educate them on what the 524 rule is?
Absolutely. So specifically with Chase Bank, they have a rule that says that you have to have opened 5 or less new cards in 24 months in order for them to consider you for a new one. Business cards do not take a space. And if you think you can't qualify for a business card, you probably can. But I like to remind people that you have to have a space open to get a business card. So I always like to tell people who are just starting to go back through any credit cards they have, figure out exactly when they opened them. The Travel Freely app is a great way to plug everything in and see, because it tracks that status for you. So for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's a free app. It's amazing. But Chase is a pivotal bank in this game. And so you really need to be aware of that 524 status, because without having that available, they will not give you any cards. And so you'll have to go other routes. That was long-winded.
No, that was great though. On that same note, you kind of mentioned how the Southwest was not really the ideal place to start. Mary Ellen, any kind of early on mistakes that you feel like you made that you wish if you could do it over again, you would do differently?
There's definitely something that I wouldn't say it was a mistake at the time, but it would be a mistake to do it now. So with my husband as my player too, and I mentioned that I got that Amex Gold card, was so excited about it. And then I saw the Amex Platinum card and I was like, ooh, platinum. This sounds exciting. My husband had long had an Amex credit card, but it was like a card I don't even think they have anymore. Some kind of Amex travel card that it was not the green, gold, or platinum. And so he had a relationship though with Amex Bank. And so we saw that he was qualified for 150,000 points for a signup bonus for Amex Platinum. And so we jumped on that, and he's had the Amex Platinum. We've enjoyed it for several years, but our plan was, ultimately I would refer him for Amex Gold, and then they had to come rain on everybody's parade and create that new rule where now you can't do things out of order or you can't earn the next signup bonus. So because he's already earned an Amex Platinum signup bonus, he cannot now get an Amex Gold signup bonus. So if someone was just starting out with Amex, then they may want to consider starting with the Amex Green first, because you can't, if you start with Gold, you can't go back and earn the signup bonus for the Green. So there needs to be a little more strategy with your Amex cards because of this new rule that they've put into place.
Yes, it's an order of operations. That's what I tell. If you remember elementary school or middle school math, you have to do things in a specific order. Don't forget.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely love that. So for you two ladies, what's your favorite card so far at this point in your journey?
Well, I mean, I feel like we are beating this card to death, but the Amex Gold is the newest member of my card family. And I am obsessed with her because those 4x points on groceries are, adding up real quick. And it makes me actually a little bit pained that I left those on the table for so long, because before I've been just so Chase focused. And again, I am full. My 524 is full. So we're focusing other directions right now. And so I'm really getting into this Amex thing and I am loving it.
Yeah, I'd say for me, the reason I love the Amex Gold so much, definitely because I have 3 kids at home, as a family of 5, groceries and restaurants, food expenses are huge for us. And I love that the points pile up quickly with Amex Gold. But more than that, I am a big Rakuten shopper. That's my shopping portal of choice most of the time. And I choose to earn my cash back as Amex points. So I just find that the points come quickly with Amex and I'm able to kind of build them, just at a quicker pace than I can with some other cards.
Awesome. Awesome. So I know you guys are in different journeys when it comes to points and miles. I think Mary Ellen, you've been in it a little bit longer than for you, Joe. I'm curious, Joe, have you had any memorable redemptions yet, points and miles. I know you're also planning a wedding that's coming up very soon. So I feel like you're probably stacking all of your points and miles for the wedding. But have you had a chance to have any cool redemptions so far?
What has been so amazing about my journey is not that I've gone on any big epic trips yet. It's the little things that I've been able to do that I previously was not able to do. I took my daughter and her best friend to Chicago and we stayed in a gorgeous hotel and that was totally paid for on points. We're going to Orlando in June. Not only the hotel and the flights, but our Orlando Universal Studios tickets are paid for with points, which is not everybody's favorite redemption. Okay. But I say, you know, use it where they make the most sense to you, not necessarily about getting that best cents per point redemption. I think we all are kind of in our own journey and have to use them where it's right for us. So I've had a ton of just tiny redemptions over the past year that, I mean, this year has been so transformative. I hadn't been on a trip in 3 years. And then all of a sudden, I'm earning points and miles, and I feel like I'm going somewhere every month. And it's just been really, really amazing.
Hey everyone, this is DeAndre Koch interrupting the episode real quick to let you know that if you want to travel in style and luxury, thanks to Travel Hacking, here's an amazing opportunity to learn how. I've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you a special discount on their in-depth online course. It busts common myths, teaches the basics, and even has advanced techniques that surprised even me. Imagine exploring ancient ruins in Italy or sipping cocktails on a Polynesian beach and traveling there in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. This limited time offer saves you 50% and you even get bonus content that's not available to the public. You also get access to the private Lux Travel Hacks Facebook community where you can grow even more in your travel expertise. Click the link in the show notes and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout to take advantage of this huge opportunity. All right, now back to the show. Very cool. What about you, Mary Ellen?
For me, I think recently my kids are half Puerto Rican. My husband is Puerto Rican, and so for them, they had never been to Puerto Rico. And earlier this year, we have Southwest Companion passes. And so we were able to fly on points and with our companion passes to Puerto Rico and spend some time there. We stayed at Hyatt hotels, so it was nothing out of pocket for our hotels. And just to give them that connection to their heritage was really special. Now, when it comes to point redemption value, I have definitely a bucket list trip coming up, and it falls into you guys. I feel like your demographic a little more because it's more of a luxury trip. As a family of five, we do a lot of budget travel, but my husband and I are going on a big 15-year wedding anniversary trip to Switzerland this summer. We are flying. It's crazy how long you have to wait when you book these business class flights. Not everybody, but I got mine right when they opened. The window opened for booking. So I feel like I've been waiting forever. But we're flying business class on Air France over to, we're going to fly into Geneva and spend some time in Switzerland and fly out of Zurich business class back home. So we use the Amex Platinum. We use the Fine Hotels and Resorts benefit to book a couple nights of our hotel. So we're kind of dipping our toes into the luxury travel sans kits, without the kits.
That's super cool. So do you happen to know by chance or remember by chance roughly how many points you used for this booking and then what the actual cash cost would have been if you had paid cash for the same experience?
Yeah, so on the way there, we are going to be flying out of Dulles, IAD, and we're flying on Air France. We're stopping over in Paris briefly and then continuing to Geneva, and it's business class. The retail cost for the flights would have been $12,104, and we paid 140,000 points, so 70,000 points each, and the taxes were $448. So for less than $500, a $12,000 flight, which I was on board with.
Absolutely unreal. Awesome. That's an awesome redemption.
I feel like we did even better on the way home, which I'm super pumped about because we were able to capitalize on an Iberia transfer bonus. It was a 30% transfer bonus, which I was so pumped to see. And so for the way back, the retail cost, which sometimes I look at these retail costs of flights and I'm like, is this true? Like, is this, did people actually pay this? So the retail value for our business class flights back supposedly is $20,232. And we paid with the transfer bonus 103,000 points. So only 51,000 points each, and the taxes were $383. That's so
you, you basically paid $300 for a $20,000 flight, which to your question, do people actually pay that? Yes, they do, because Taryn and I were going back to the Maldives in November, and we booked Q Suites, and each of those tickets are $10,000, and someone's paying for that, right? So these are real ticket prices. So it is so unreal. And the redemption factor on that's absolutely incredible. Absolutely love that. We actually have a tool on our site for the listeners where you can actually go to a calculator on our website. So you can actually see what the redemption value is to know what your, you know, how many times or multipliers or cents you're going to get per point. And I can just know off of what you said. That was, that's insane. So I mean, you basically got, what's that, roughly $32,000-$33,000 worth of airfare for like $800 roughly?
Yeah.
Plus points.
Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely unreal. That's absolutely unreal.
So awesome. I can't wait. We're going in June and I am like counting the minutes.
I'm feeling a follow-up episode coming where we unpack how that trip went and how the luxury experience was. So will this be your first time long-haul business class overseas?
It will. It will.
Wow.
And I'm a tall girl, so I'm super pumped to be in a lie-flat seat just for the sake of I have long legs and I legitimately will benefit from the space. So I'm excited.
That's awesome. Super excited for you. I'm super excited. So that's actually a really cool segue, right? Because you talked about this is like your first dabble in the luxury world. And one of the things we talked about when we were scheduling this recording was the fact that we have different types of content, right? So we really push the luxury travel, getting the most bang for your point, essentially, and dollar. But you guys have a lot of really great content when it comes to family travel, budget travel. And in listening to your podcast, I've heard of stuff I've never even heard of before, like an app called Fetch, which I still don't know what it is, but I heard you keep talking about it. So I would love to hear some, for the listeners out there that are looking maybe for more budget-friendly points and miles strategies. I would love, and you've had some great guests on your show. I would love you guys to just throw out some of the coolest strategies that you guys are either using yourself or you've heard recently or apps that you use. I'm just going to shut up here and just let you guys talk about some awesome strategies that you guys have talked about on your show.
Absolutely. I will take you through one of my favorite life hacks in that budget travel space, and then I'll let Mary Ellen tell you about Fetch because she's the one who told me about it. So it would only be fair. I would say one of our favorite things that we like to tell people to do is pick the Hyatts with the free breakfast. And we say this all the time, free breakfast is our love language. And this is not the advice for the foodie.
Oh my gosh.
For the listeners that aren't watching, keep in mind you can't watch this on our YouTube channel, but Mary Ellen's wearing a shirt that literally says free breakfast is our love language. She just held it up to the camera. So that's why we're all start laughing.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
That is our merch.
We couldn't see her shirt otherwise.
Great merch. I had no idea
you were wearing that. Yes. At some point they will be available. Right now, it is only for the two of us. So, but yes, this is kind of our running joke on the podcast. We say free breakfast is our love language all the time. And it's because, especially if you are traveling with a family, you are going to save so much by having that breakfast covered. And not only are you loading up on breakfast, but you can pack things from that Hyatt breakfast bar. You can take them with you to the national parks, to the theme parks, you know, wherever you're exploring for the day. So that is, I think, one that we tell people all the time. And anytime I'm helping a family with an itinerary and there's an option for a Hyatt Place or a Hyatt House, not only are you getting an extraordinary redemption, I mean, those are usually starting at like 5,000 to 8,000 points a night, but you can maximize that in other ways by utilizing that free breakfast bar. And it's, you know, it's not a globalist breakfast for sure, but it is the basics and it's all you need.
I like how you pointed that out, because in my head, I'm always thinking the only way to get a free breakfast at Hyatt is globalist status for the breakfast that is some of the most insane spreads that Tara and I think she'd agree, insane spreads we've ever seen, you know, in cocktails, all the things. But that you just opened my eyes, because I forgot that the Hyatt Places and such have a breakfast, a continental breakfast. That's a good breakfast. The waffles, the sausage, all the things.
It is.
And bananas, apples, like you can take them to the park. But yeah.
They have bread. They have peanut butter and jelly. Sometimes they have cold cuts. You make yourself some sandwiches. Okay. No shame. You load up on that breakfast bar. And the last few Hyatt houses and places that I've stayed at have been in a number of different cities, and they were very nice. I know that people, they kind of get a bad rep sometimes because they're the lower tier Hyatts, but they're great. They're comfortable. They're clean. The last one that I stayed in Minneapolis was very modern. And so I'm a big fan. Mary Ellen, tell us about the Fetch.
Yes, Fetch is an app. It's an app for everyone, but it's definitely a great app if you have a large family that spends a lot of money on groceries, because you can turn your grocery receipts into points. So what you do is, after you go shopping, you can look through their app. They have certain items. I guess they have partnerships with different brands that will give you more points than other items. But every receipt that you upload on the app, and you just take a picture with your phone, gives you 25 points. And so you can accumulate points over time and cash them in for gift cards of all types, but including travel gift cards. So for the trip to Switzerland, one of the nights we're hopping all around Switzerland. And so there is a night that we're staying because I used Fetch points to get a hotels.com gift card and then booked a night through that website, which I don't normally do, but because I had the gift card, I did it. And you can link your Instacart. So if you are somebody that gets groceries delivered to your house, you can link that. Yes. And it will scan your email and your Instacart for receipts. It will scan Amazon receipts. It doesn't even have to be just groceries. It will scan and give you credit for any receipts at all. So Fetch is a fun app that we love. We also like an app called Upside. Have you guys heard of that one?
Never heard of it.
So Upside started primarily for gas savings, and you put your credit card in there, and then it will show you on a map what gas stations you can choose from. Shell gas stations are usually on there, and so you can click at it, you kind of check in at the gas station, and then it will give you, you know, 5% back or 7% back. It changes. The percent back changes and depends on where you are. But that is another one that then you can cash out your savings for gift cards. Sometimes we use those not necessarily to book travel, but for things like our meals when we're traveling, or fun treats like Starbucks in the airport, because you can get a Starbucks gift card with your points. So we're all about the budget travel on our show. And so every little bit counts. And you know, you can do your flight with credit card points, you can do hotels with credit card points, but sometimes these apps are a great way to pay for the other smaller expenses that still add up, and travel still costs money. Even if you booked your plane and your hotel on points, there's all the other expenses. So doing every little bit counts.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So a question for you ladies: when it comes to traveling, are you in the checked bag or carry-on only camp?
Carry-on only queen. You will not find me losing my baggage. I would rather have nothing. I would rather wash my clothes 5 times during a trip than risk arriving somewhere and not having my stuff. Even though I know that I have protection with multiple credit cards that will reimburse those things for me, I can't. I can't do it. What about you?
Yeah, I'm carry on too. Even with the 3 kids, we have a toddler. We do definitely carry on.
Taryn, I'm really loving to hear what you think, Taryn, right now. What's running through your mind?
Listen, I have a carry-on bag too, and that is in case my checked bag gets lost, and I like to have extra things, and I, you know, I'm not changing. Don't try to change me, DeAndre.
No, I'm not. I just remember one of your episodes you talked about a carry-on or the lifestyle of being of carry-on, so I was like, let me ask. I wasn't sure if it was both of you.
I would love to be that person. I can't do it. I've packed too many things. My standard packing starts too thick.
I understand that. I do have to say the time that got really difficult for me is I travel hacked my way to take my brother and I up to a Swedish roots exploration trip in Minnesota, not in Sweden. It was the little baby version, but it was freezing cold. And I would have to say that packing for the freezing cold in a carry-on is not super fun. I did it. I did not like it. But I did it. So
yeah, winter is a different ball game.
Yes.
I will say that the checked bag travels, which Taryn and I have done, and so far we've been unscathed. That does require a little bit extra planning.
Knock on some wood.
We're good. We're good. We do have to plan extra for on our positioning flights for things like that. But some of our checked bag, like Taryn and I, you know, we're both divers. So if we're going to bring our dive gear with us, like we have to check that. And that bag's also almost 60 pounds even by itself. So that's why business class comes in, because we don't have to pay the extra baggage weight fees. Yeah. Also,
there are very hardcore divers in the community that will get on the plane wearing their gear. And so they don't have to check a bag. We've talked about this. It's totally allowed. The airlines allow it. I cannot imagine it's comfortable. But it's a budget approach. You will save the money from that check bag, especially if you don't have status. But the idea of doing that is just like unfathomable to me. Like wearing like all of your gear. It's not soft in the back. And it's quite heavy. But that is another hack for if you are a scuba diver, that you can just wear your equipment right on the plane instead of checking it, although checking works better.
And please do it on a flight that I'm on, because I would love to see a scuba diver walk on board the plane. That would be fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
So ladies, a couple questions for you as we get in the direction of wrapping up. Joe, you've got this wedding coming up.
I do.
When's the wedding?
September 29th. It's a nice fall wedding in a barn.
Perfect. You have to let us know the exact location so all of our listeners can show up there. We're going to make this a huge party.
I'm having a taco bar, you guys. We tasted tacos today. So everybody come have some tacos at my barn wedding.
Awesome. We'll love to. Question for you. So have you been able to use your knowledge of points and miles to help you with the wedding planning, the honeymoon planning, or are you just paying everything on credit cards and stacking those points? How has your knowledge now helped you in ways that it might not have 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Absolutely. That's a great question, because this game has made me so budget conscious. I mean, the very first thing I did before I even got my first credit card was go through my bank account so meticulously and figure out every bit of my spending, what could go on a card, what couldn't. And I think that has translated to wedding planning in an amazing way, because I'm doing everything myself. This is just who I am as a person. I'm very budget. I'm very DIY. I was like, we're going to cook this taco meat ourselves. My mom took that one off my plate. She said, no, you're not. We're going to find you somebody. Love her. Appreciate that. But I have, I think just everything that I've learned from researching in the points and miles game really kind of lent itself to my research skills. I mean, I knew exactly what I wanted. I went out, I found it, I pieced it together the way I do with the trip, the way I do with different points currencies, and I created something extraordinary for under $5,000, and I'm really, really proud of myself.
Wow. The financial advisor in me is applauding you, by the way.
Thank you so much. And to answer your question about the points, anything that I can put on a credit card has been going to help me hit sign up bonuses. So that's been really nice because there are some things that come in bigger chunks, the venue itself or like the deposit on the food, that kind of stuff. So I've been able to hit a bunch of sign up bonuses with some of the wedding spending, you know, piecing that together. Also, you know, I have a friend getting married at the same time. So I said, hey, you know, if you don't have a way you want to pay for your bachelorette party, I'll pay for it. All your friends can Venmo me. So I think it's just all about being strategic, both in wedding planning and in trip planning. And then I think I'm going to be going to Tulum, as we talked about when you guys came on our episode, which everyone should go listen to. But I think that is where I finally kind of landed on our honeymoon. And that will be all on points. Our flights will be on points. We'll be staying at a Hyatt property on points. And we're going to be able to have like this gorgeous, luxurious, all-inclusive experience because of this game, which is not something that would have been in the cards for us before.
So that's really amazing. Cool. And for the listeners, of course, there's the giveaway that's going on right now for a stay in Tulum. So if you want to go out there, maybe you actually will run into Joe when you're out there in Tulum, then make sure to participate in the giveaway. So Joe, how long roughly would you say time-wise have you been in the points and miles game yourself, roughly?
I would say we're coming up on 2 years, but I would say because of my 524, I went really slow at the beginning and then all of a sudden, like really, really fast. So 2 years is fair in terms of, you know, a little research here and there and one card. I would say 1 year where I've like all in, all the cards went so hard that Chase said no more for you.
So that's what I was going to ask, because I wanted to know, because I think this would be helpful for the listeners to hear this and from a timeline standpoint, right? So 2 years in the game, but really 1 year is going after it. If you had to ballpark or guess, how many cards do you think you have right now that you've opened in the in this 2 year period? Roughly.
I think I can tell you in the last year I've opened 7 cards. And that's pretty moderate for people in this game. But the problem is that rather than spacing them a little bit more appropriately, I was like 30 days, boom, 30 days, boom, 30 days, boom. And then I would let it breathe for a minute and then I would go again. And I can say for anyone who's new, be a little patient. The points are always there. You don't want Chase to be on the phone with you when you call reconsideration saying, well, this is a lot in a very short amount of time. Because that was my experience and it was very painful. So don't be me.
Understood. Yeah, I would typically recommend make it more like 45 to 90 days. Yes. But I knew that you had done a lot in a little bit of time and done it successfully for the most part, would say, because I mean, still 7 is a great amount. And so I thought that'd be super helpful for the listeners to hear. Like, it's okay for it to be more than one. That likely should be more than one, right? And for them to grow if they're going to start following this opportunity to follow points and miles and such. And so, ladies, I know there's a wedding, of course, coming up. I know there's Switzerland coming up as well. But any other future trips or bucket list destinations that you guys have that you plan to just knock it out of the park with some points and miles?
For me, I'm coming up on a big year next year. I will be turning 40 in 2025. So I've started to kind of formulate in my mind maybe a big 40th birthday extravaganza trip, you know, business class somewhere. One of my passions is the K-drama. I don't know if anyone here has ever watched a K-drama. It's Korean television, Korean dramas. I love them. I watch them on many platforms. So I've never been to South Korea, but because for the many years I've been in K-drama world and kind of really enjoying learning about Korean culture and watching their television, I'm thinking maybe along the line, I have been looking up flights. There's a great nonstop flight. I'm thinking about taking advantage actually of the Virgin now has a, at the moment, at the time of this recording, a 30% transfer bonus if you transfer from Capital One to Virgin Red. And there is a great flight that can be bought direct to Seoul through buying it, booking it through the Virgin website. So I'm thinking about that. That's kind of on my radar. I have a spreadsheet going. So I'm getting the planning started.
Yeah, I think both of our bucket list upcoming plans are in the same vein, because mine is Tokyo. And the reason that came about is because I found out I could take my daughter to Disney in Tokyo cheaper than I could take her to Disney in Orlando. And I was like, yep, we're doing that. She already is fascinated with Japanese culture. I've wanted to visit forever. And so I, not only me and her, but my best friend, my brother, a few other people are now in a group text where I'm coaching them through which cards they need to open, which points they need to start accumulating. We've got our eyeballs on American Airlines, because there is a recurring 60,000 point business class flight from not only Chicago to Tokyo, there's also one regularly from the West Coast to Tokyo, in case anybody wants to look at that. But I am hopeful that this will be my first overseas business class experience. And it's just going to be such an amazing thing that I get to share with my daughter that never, ever would have been possible. I mean, these flights are $2,000 one way in economy. So it's just night and day from what life was kind of like before. And I'm very, very excited to make this happen.
That sounds super exciting. And I think that's a huge statement you just said when you said that you could go to Disneyland in Tokyo more than Disneyland or Disney World here in the United States, for less than it would cost to go here in the United States. So that's really cool. I know you're looking at American. If you get a chance, I know you have to only book them round trip, but if you can do ANA Airways, that airline is unreal, and their food is insanely good. So I highly recommend them.
They are on my radar. We had a guest on to talk about the Around the World trip, and that episode blew my mind. So
that episode blew my mind as well. I loved that episode. That was a great episode you guys had. If your listeners gotta go here, because the Around the World ticket, mind blown.
Right.
Mind
like blown. The emoji with its head exploding is all you can say. So I have actually played around with the idea of, oh, what if we turned this Tokyo thing into like a multi-stop? And I don't know. Then that's where I start getting carried away with myself. But I have my eyes on ANA for sure. So I like to hear that from somebody who's tried it out and says, yes, do it. Eat the food.
Very cool, ladies. So how can the listeners connect with you? What would be the best way?
So you can find me on Instagram at familytravelforthewin, and that is with the number 4.
And I am also on Instagram at points2wonderland, but that is with the word 2, not the number 2. And we also have an Instagram for the podcast, which is Wonderland on Points Podcast. And you'll see a lot of cross posting in both places. But what we try to do is make sure that that podcast Instagram is all Points and Miles content. Meanwhile, our personal Instagrams is both our lives and the Points and Miles content. So we would love to see you over there. And also, you can find the podcast on all the podcast platforms. I should probably mention that at Wonderland on Points Podcast. And, you know, we really appreciate the listens, the ratings, the reviews. It means a lot to us. We put a lot of work into this. And we're just grateful that we had this opportunity to come on and chat with you guys.
Well, it's been great having you. Any last thoughts from either of you?
I think I love to just remind people, and I touched on this earlier, that the best redemption is whatever the best redemption is for you. Don't sit on your points. Don't be afraid to use them. Use them for your dreams and to follow your passions. And if that means that you're spending 60,000 points to replace $900 of Universal Studios costs, and that's what works for you, then do it. And I think that, you know, Instagram can be usually the bright and shiny stuff, but it's the little stuff that has been the most transformational for me. And I think that would be my biggest piece of advice to anybody getting into this game.
Awesome. And what about you, Mary Ellen?
I would say just get started. I think sometimes people get nervous that they're not going to do it right, or which card do I sign up for? And even using your point, sometimes people get point paralysis and they're maybe getting the cards and stockpiling the points, but then they're afraid to actually use them. And points do devalue sometimes. Programs devalue. Go ahead and be using your points. Don't just stockpile forever, even if it's not huge redemptions. Go for weekends. I mean, my husband and I both work full time. We're weekend warriors. Sometimes we can only do short trips, but points make them possible. And we are able to travel so much more frequently now because we're doing this. So don't be afraid to get your feet wet, spend some points, go for a little weekend, and it will rejuvenate you.
Yes. And don't be afraid to ask questions. We are all here to help. I mean, I'm speaking for you, but I feel like that is a fair thing to say.
That's a very fair thing to say. So perfect. So just get started, earn and burn, as we call it.
Earn and burn.
And as Joe said, go after what's going to make the memories. Don't just think that it has to be the greatest redemption. It can be the little things. If it's going to make the memories, it's going to change your life for you, your children, your parents, your significant other. Go for it. Doesn't have to be the perfect redemption. I know I'm super analytical, so I'm always preaching the 2x rule, but I do believe that you should go for what's going to make your heart happy. So Joe, Mary Ellen, and Taryn, it's been a pleasure having all of us today on the episode. I hope the listeners were able to gather glean some great information. You guys talked some really cool strategies. The whole fetch thing, I feel like they're about to have a spike in downloads just from that one thing alone. So that's really cool. I'm going to keep listening to your podcast because you have great content that you put out as well. Super appreciative and super happy to have you here, and looking forward to having you ladies back on in the future as well. And we're going to link all the things you said, all of your profiles, all the accounts in the show notes, so the listeners can go ahead and follow you guys as well. And for the listeners out there, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.